Hear ye, hear ye. The famous Fun with Words game, Noah Webster says. On the stage are several contestants who've volunteered from the audience. And here he is, his pockets crammed with $50 bills and a good word for everybody, your genial, jovial word master of ceremonies, Haven McCrory.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And welcome to Noah Webster Says, to our game of defining words we all should know. And now for Noah Webster Says. At his desk, the chairman of the Department of Speech at Occidental College, who will judge this word contest, Dr. Charles Frederick Lindsley.
Thank you, Haven, and good evening, sir. The direct quotations to be heard on tonight's program are from Webster's New International Dictionary, second edition, copyright 1934 and 39, by the publishers G&C Merriam Company.
And lest we forget to tell you now, Noah Webster Says we'll come to you 1 hour later next week, and here comes tonight's first guest. How do you do, sir?
How do you do?
Well, move right in, be confident. Those forward, sort of. You have a pleasant smile on your face. And, your name?
Roy Shineman.
Roy Shineman.
Shineman, yeah.
And where from?
New York State and Oregon. Oh. In California, lately.
I see. And you know anyone in Chicago?
I do not.
You were born in New York State?
Yes. Yes, sir.
I was wondering what was holding you up in Oregon.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got web-footed there. I was commencing to get web-footed, so I came down here.
Why, is it wet up there?
Slightly moist.
Never say it is wet in the Northwest. That is the evergreen playground.
Wonderful.
And if we could only have the weather they enjoy in the Northwest here in Hollywood, how about it, folks? Now, remember, this is all up for... What do you do, sir?
A specialty salesman, a freelance salesman.
You sell freelancers? What do you sell? I'm only kidding.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to make you warm up.
Specialties of various kinds. Advertising and merchant and advertising specialties and business specialties, collection specialties.
I see. Well, now, remember, this is all in fun,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, sure.
And even if you lose, you'll have added another word to your vocabulary. This list you've chosen wins a check for $5 for Mrs. Bertha T. Minter of Hollywood, California, calling for you to define five words, all of which might be applied to five families who live in five different apartments in a Hollywood apartment house. The picture clear? And now for your first family for $1. There is an amicable elderly couple in apartment number one. The word is A-M-I-C-A-B-L-E. Now, what is your definition for amicable?
Being able to get along together, peaceably, friendly.
Lovely. Lovely.
Professor, well, what's it say? Friendly. As Prideaux said, that which was most remarkable in this contest was the amicable manner in which it was arranged.
You know, most people, when they come to the microphone, they feel that they're going to get a difficult word. These words graduate. Huh? Was that a happy thought?
I presume so.
Huh? You're still with me. More voice now. More voice.
Yeah, surely.
Can you hear him in Seattle? More voice. Go ahead.
What do you want me to say?
Throw a kiss to Seattle.
Hello, Seattle.
All right, fine. Keep that going. Now, for $2 more, there is an egotistical bachelor in apartment two, so what is your definition for the adjective egotistical? E-G-O-T-I-S-I-C-A-L.
Very self-centered and thinking only of himself.
That's good, huh? You like those kind of people?
No, I do not.
Uh-huh. How do you know about them?
Because I've run across many of them.
Haven't we all? You won't give, will you? Well, as my wife says to me, stick with them till they give. So I'm going to stick right with you till you give.
Egotistical, addicted to or manifesting egotism, meaning the frequent use of the word I in speaking or writing. Hence, the practice of speaking or writing over much of oneself, as Hazlitt said, is excessive egotism, which filled all objects with himself.
Didn't he read that beautifully?
Yeah. Very comprehensive.
Now, for $3 more, a cynical grass widow lives in apartment number three. Now, what is your definition for the adjective cynical?
Supercilious, critical, And,
Do you know any grass widows?
Yes, I told you that before.
When did you tell me that? I'd like to have you clear that for the listening audience. We don't rehearse these shows.
In selecting the contestants.
That's right. We try to select our contestants out from the audience by asking them various questions to see whether or not they can answer a word that's comparable to the word that will be propounded to them when they arrive at the microphone, right?
Yes, that's right.
Was that a marvelous ad-lib? You think I can do that? Well, anywho, what do you know about grass widows?
Well, you want to know about one in particular?
Yes. Can we dust her off on the air all right?
Well, this particular one wouldn't try anything new until someone else had tried it before. So the world never would progress if all of us were like that.
Well, now, what is a grass widow's viewpoint, particularly the first year?
First year of what?
The first year of being a grass widow.
Oh. Well, I presume she's looking for someone else.
The first year?
Well, maybe she's happy to be free for a while.
Well, she's cynical. Her viewpoint? She's cynical. What is her viewpoint, then, toward men?
She doesn't trust them. She's suspicious.
You found that out, eh?
Yeah.
Professor.
All officers are cynical, given to contemptuous belief in men's sincerity of motives or rectitude of conduct.
Close enough. You're in on that grass widow. You've won $6. Now, for $4 more, up in apartment 4, there lives a cynical lady. Your word to define is the adjective cynical. F-I-N-I-C-A-L. So how would you define cynical?
I presume it's the same as finicky, which means kind of queer and erratic and eccentric. And,
This gal's an old maid. Would that help?
Well, they're more inclined to be finicky, I should judge.
Finicky in what way? The word finicky is so synonymous with cynical that I'd like to have you give another synonym.
As I said,
Well, what are the characteristics of old maid, in your estimation?
Well, captious and,
You know, you're sitting at this microphone.
Finding.
You're sitting at this microphone with a mental attitude that you're on a fence with a spike in the country and there's a bull approaching. Now, I'm your friend. Move in here and talk about an old maid. Go ahead.
Well, cynical. Cynical is,
You're saying cynical, aren't you?
Yes, cynical.
That's what I was... Pardon?
Cynical.
Cynical, yes.
Strange, queer, erratic in judgment, all the time popping from one viewpoint to another, and unpredictable in her actions.
That doesn't define cynical. Mm-mm. You've been looking at the wrong old maid. Let's go back to the grass widow. Now we'll come back to finical again. A finical old maid would have a home or an apartment. How would she keep it as a rule?
She'd be very prim about it. Very.
Now you're getting warm. Go ahead now. Now you're warming up to the old maid.
Wouldn't want it disturbed, like the old-fashioned parlor, I presume.
You presume. Don't presume further you're in. Professor.
Oh, it says finical means squeamish, nice, dainty, delicate, meticulous, finicky, mincing, over-scrupulous.
Fine, you've won $10. And we've laid a dozen eggs while you won it. Now, for $10 more or $50, would you like to take the 10 and sit down, or would you like to try for $50 bill?
Well, go all the way.
All right. This is a word that I can't help you with. You've taken too much time already. Now, for $50 bill, you might apply the adjective inimical to the landlord. So what is your definition for inimical? I-N-I-M-I-C-A-L.
Unfriendly.
You're right.
Inimical, unfriendly, unfavorable.
That's marvelous. There's your $50 bill, sir. You came to right at the right time. Good for you. Thanks
back
for coming, and come again.
Yeah, thank you.
And smile
thank
the next time, too, Walter.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Fine. Here's our next guest. How do you do?
How do you do?
And your name?
Louise Lorimer.
And where from?
I'm from Hollywood, formerly from New York.
And now you're from Hollywood?
Yes.
Which way are you going?
Oh, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here, I hope.
Oh, then you're from New York and you're now in Hollywood?
That's right.
Am I becoming pedantic tonight? And your occupation?
I do dramatic roles on radio.
Oh. Well, we're highly honored to have you here. What program do you appear on?
Well, last night I had a featured role on the Dr. Christian program with Jean Hirschholt and Rosemary DeCamp.
Uh-huh.
And I've been on the Lux show several times. And in New York, I was on Amanda of Honeymoon Hill, and Young Widow Brown, Front Page Barrel.
Well, welcome to Noah Webster's Center.
Thank you.
This list you've chosen wins a $5 check for Fanny Shoeline of Los Angeles, California, calling for you to find five words, all of which were taken from the Philip K. Shore review of the Universal International production Black Narcissus. Mr. Shore states, quote, "This picture unfolds a series of technicolor tapestries as rich, detailed, and beautiful as any I have ever seen." Now, for your first word for $1, it seems almost incredible they shot it in London and not in a palace high on a windswept crag in the Himalayas. But they did. Your word to define is crag, C-R-A-G. What is your definition for crag?
A crag is a rocky precipice, a cliff.
Did you see this picture?
Yes.
And how would you apply crag to the picture?
Oh, there is a crag, a very steep crag, and the wall of the palace is right in line with the edge of the cliff. It's a very dramatic shot.
You liked it, huh?
Yes.
Crag, in this sense, Norbert says, is a steep, rugged rock. That's correct.
Fine. Now we'll draft from the crag for $2. Mr. Shore says, Black Narcissus is a cumulative drama. Your word to define is the adjective cumulative, spelled C-U-M-U-L-A-T-I-V-E. So what is your definition for cumulative?
Well, it is related to the word accumulate, which means collect. And cumulative means gathering, being added to. The dramatic intensity was cumulative.
I'm very happy that you're from show business and you saw the picture and that you've given such a fine definition. Professor.
Oh, if it says cumulative or cumulative, formed or becoming larger by gathering or successive additions. Correct.
Now, for $3 more, the next quote in this review states, I found it a cinematic jewel in an exotic bloom among the potted plants of Hollywood. Your word to define is the adjective exotic, spelled E-X-O-T-I-C. Now, here is a word that many people fail to define correctly. So, what is your definition for exotic?
Well, Mr. McQuarrie, I don't think I shall ever forget that word, because I think you used it on this program several years ago.
Yeah, I've used it 3 or 4 times.
And as I remember, you said, which is exotic, Dorothy L'Amour or an elephant?
You're right. And what was the answer?
Well, Dorothy L'Amour couldn't be exotic. She can be glamorous.
Uh-huh.
In an exotic role. But it's the elephant that's exotic, because exotic means foreign.
Professor.
The lady gave a very excellent answer to that question.
And you... Okay.
I accept it.
Now, for $4 more, your next quote, yet I cannot recommend it to everyone with impunity. However, the principal Catholic objection has been removed, I think, by the insertion of a revised introductory title. Deborah Carr, who plays the Sister Superior, and Kathleen Bryan, who plays the fallen away nun, belong to a Protestant order of... Of what? Of nuns.
Anglican nuns.
Oh, yes. My paper's blurred here. Your word to define is the noun impunity, spelled I-M-P-U-N-I-T-Y. Impunity.
Well, with impunity means without blame. Every picture can't, or every radio program can't appeal to everyone. And some have a wider appeal than others. And I suppose he felt that if he advised every or said that everyone would respond to this picture, he couldn't say that without blame. He couldn't say it with impunity because everyone might not react to it. A lot of people will. I did.
Is this girl great, Professor?
The whole Webster says impunity, exemption, or freedom from punishment, harm, or loss. Very good.
All right. You have won $10. Now, would you like to take the 10 and retire, or would you like to try for a $50 bill?
Oh, I'd like to try for 50.
All right. Its theme is unusual, even esoteric. Your word are defined as the adjective esoteric. E-S-O-T-E-R-I-C. Esoteric.
Well, esoteric has to do with, the reactions, for instance, of a particular group. For instance, teenagers have their own slang and their own fads and so forth. And, any other group. The Navy, for instance, there are certain reactions that an experience is a certain point of view that belongs to the Navy. And the same is true of the Army or the clergy, any particular group.
How would you apply it to the picture?
These were a group of Anglican nuns, and you'd say it would be a confidential understanding within certain groups.
Professor.
Well, this is esoteric, withheld from open avowal, confined to a select group, private, confidential. Very good.
Little memoir from this visit, nice picture of Grant with 50 in the corner.
Thank you, Mr. McQuarrie.
I'll come again.
Thank you.
Here's our next contestant, and how do you do, sir?
How do you do?
And your name?
P.S.C. Roberts, Lawrence H.
And what did you do before you joined the Army?
Well, I went to school mostly, and I worked in a radio shop part-time.
Oh, is that so? You're in the radio business too, huh?
Yes, I repair them mostly.
Is that so? Well, welcome to our game of fun with words. This list you've selected wins a $5 check for Mrs. Robert Press of Berkeley, California, calling for you to define five words every young man should know. For example, if you should give your girl the following, what would she receive? And now for $1, the boy gave his girl sweetmeats. What did he give her?
Candy, I'd
You're
say.
Not. Professor.
Any food rich in sugar is cake, candy, or sweet pastry.
Fine. Now for $3 more, $2 more, your next term to define is osculatory salute. Spelled O-S-C-U-L-A-T-O-R-Y, salute. So what is an osculatory salute?
A kiss?
Professor.
Exactly right. A kiss.
Now, for $3 more, the lad presents his girl with a nosegay. N-O-S-E, gay. Nosegay. So what is a nosegay?
Would you please repeat that?
Yes, a nosegay. N-O-S-E-G-A-Y. Nosegay. What is a nosegay?
I'm not sure, but from the way it sounds, it might be a handkerchief or...
You're very warm. You're on the organ. Now, what would a boy give a girl if the girl didn't care for candy?
Maybe some kind of wearing apparel.
And what else?
Bunch of flowers.
You're right, Professor.
No game. A bunch of flowers, a posy.
Now for $4 more. The girl's next gift, or the boy's next present, is an auto. Spelled O-T-T-O. So what is your definition for an auto?
A-T-T-O, did you say?
O-T-T-O.
O-T-T-O?
Do you know the word atter?
No, I don't believe I do.
I don't mean he was mad at her. Do you use hair tonic?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Well, to get, like I said to you before when you were picking it.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, there are no secrets.
Go ahead, yes. When you were sitting out in the audience, I was trying to find a boy that knew something about auto. Yeah.
I told you it was used to groom your hair.
Uh-huh. Did you ever hear... Why do you use it, to groom your hair?
To keep it... Yes, I do, sir.
I see. For any other purpose?
To smell nice.
To smell nice. Uh-huh. Now, did you ever hear of a girl using hair tonic?
No, I haven't, but I've heard of them using perfume.
Professor!
No, Webster says auto and atter, meaning a perfume obtained from flowers.
You hit it right on the button. That's marvelous. Now you've won $10. Now, would you like to take the 10 or try for a 50?
I'd like to try for the 50.
All right, fine. Now, pay attention. Now, for a $50 bill, when a boy gives his girl his autonym, what does he give her? Autonym is spelled A-U-T-O-N-Y-M. What is an autonym? Did you ever give your girl an autonym?
I am not sure about that.
Is that so? That's a very serious thing. What is your girl's name?
Yeah, the one I'm particularly interested in is her name's Eva.
Eva what?
Eva Lamas, L-A-M-A-S.
And what will it be after she marries?
Robert.
And whose name is that?
That's my name.
Professor.
No, it's an autonym. It's literally one's own name.
Here is your $50 bill. Thanks for coming. Come again, and God bless you.
Thank you very kindly, sir.
Yes, yes. How do you do?
How do you do?
Your name?
Ruth Wilcox.
Now, this list you've chosen wins a $5 check from Mrs. G.P. Myers of Stockton, California, calling through to find five words, all of which represent a variety of courtesy. Now, for $1, your first word of defiant is curtsy. C-U-R-T-S-Y. What is your definition for curtsy?
A curtsy is a gesture made by a young girl, usually, in which she places one foot behind the other and bends her knees.
Lovely. Professor? Life dropping of the body with bending of the knees. Correct.
Now, for $2 more, your next word of defiant is the noun salam, spelled S-A-L-A-A-M or S-A-L-A-M. So what is a salam?
A salam is a salute used by people in the Near East, whereby they raise their fingers to the breast, lips, and brow in a token of greeting.
One or two hands?
One.
Uh-huh. And what do they do with the body?
They bend slightly forward.
That's bad for body squeaks, huh? Now, for $3 more, you were to pronounce or define the next word, K-O-W-T-O-W. Pronounce it?
Kowtow.
That's what most people think. No, it's kowtow. Now, how would you define it? What does it mean?
I believe it's Japanese in derivation, and it is a salute to the emperor, to a high official. I believe they placed the forehead on the floor.
That's enough, Professor.
So kneel enough to fall it on the ground is close enough.
Right. Now, for $4 more, your next word to define is the verb genuflect. What does that mean?
Genuflect is to bend the knee deeply, as when entering a pew in a Roman Catholic church.
Professor, genuflect to bend the knee, as in worship, right.
Fine. Now, for $50 bill, your last knee action word is pronounced conge, or the anglicized conge, spelled C-O-N-G-E. You know that word? What was your last word?
Genuflect.
What was your first word?
Curtsy.
Professor.
Oh, it says congé or congé in this sense, a bow or curtsy.
Thank you, Jim.
Here is your $50. Thanks for coming, and now please stand by for the final exams. And here are the final exams. The word tonight they are writing the definition for is panacea. The first paper says a cure-all. The second paper says a cure-all. The third paper says I'm not sure. The fourth paper, a cure alleged to cure-all. And I never heard of it. The sixth paper, nothing. The seventh paper, an ancient architectural device. The eighth paper, nothing. And now we'll hear what Noah Webster says for the noun panacea, Professor.
Noah Webster says panacea, a remedy for all diseases, a universal medicine or remedy, a cure-all, a Catholican.
Which means there are two winners tonight, and they will receive the money in addition to the money they have already won. Congratulations. Thanks to the contestant who appeared here tonight and to you folks who sent in word lists, and also to Professor Charles Frederick Lindsley, who is the final authority in judging this contest.
Noah Webster Says has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.